Welcome back, everyone. We're at Cowart Stadium in Houston, second district game. This is the Casey Dacus pregame show brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Your comfort is our business. Coach, 41-8, the final score. Get your first win as the head coach at the Navasota Rattlers. And before we talk about the X's and O's of the victory over Fur, I want to sort of talk about the mindset of these kids. It's very easy for 17 and 18-year-old kids to really get negative, to really get down on themselves with an 0-4 start, especially when, quite frankly, those last two ball games before this, when they didn't play well. The team didn't play well. But you just can't say enough about these kids and their resilience and their want to and the way they came back and really put a full game together last Friday.
No, exactly right. Yeah, the resiliency of teenagers nowadays is really great. You know, you're right. You hear all the negative, you know, and I'm sure they heard it in the community. I'm sure they've heard it, you know, around their friends and around different groups. And, you know, it's hard to tune that stuff out. And we really preached last week to, you know, block that stuff out. It doesn't matter. You know, we're 0-0. We're starting over. It's a new season. And the kids really bought into that, and they played like it on Friday night. I thought I was really, really proud of them. Their effort was great. I thought we executed a lot better than we've been executing up until now. And so we're excited about where we're at as a football team and what we've got ahead of us. And the kids have been great, and they're bought in, and we're doing it, and we're ready to go, getting better.
We're going to talk about the game here. We're going to talk about the defensive effort here in a little bit, because that was really one of the stars of the game. But let's start with offense. And I thought that you were able to throw at Fur a balanced attack more than I've seen at Navasota in a long time, putting the running with the passing.
Yes, sir. That's been a goal of ours for a long time now. And when we were at Graham, you know, the past several years, we've really strived to be as close to 50-50 as we can be, you know, run pass. And that's something we've been working at really, really hard here since we've been here, you know, this year. And our guys are starting to – they understand the schemes, and they're doing a better job of executing the schemes now. I think it's just becoming one of those deals where we're getting more and more comfortable with it, and so we're able to execute against some different looks that we weren't able to execute against earlier in the year. So I think it's just been a really good amount of improvement. I thought up front our offensive line, we're doing a really good job right now in the run game, run blocking. And then, obviously, I thought we did a pretty good job in pass protection this past week too. So it's all starting to come together for us. We're able to kind of mix and match some different things and putting some kids in positions to be able to do some things once they get the ball. So we've been real pleased with that, and we're happy with the direction that we're headed, and we just want to see if we can kind of stay there.
There's a couple of guys whose names have popped up this year, especially in the last couple of games, or actually throughout the season, that they didn't hear from last year. One of them is William Jackson. Great game on Friday night, 3 touchdowns. And then Montarius Love, your running back. A couple of guys that have really stepped up offensively for you.
Absolutely. And it's going to take all of us. You know, throughout the season, it's a marathon. And we talk a lot of times about that as a team and as a group, that, you know, it's not just about this week. It's about where are we going to be 6 weeks from now. And these guys, you know, Will Jackson, he's a sophomore. We started him. He was kind of a bubble guy for us as far as a JV varsity kid early on in the year. We knew that he had the potential to be really, really good. We just didn't know if he had enough experience. And it's a deal where he played the first week or two on the JV and was able to get some more experience. And we liked, you know, a lot what we saw. And then, you know, you had a guy like Thomas Robinson who gets banged up last week. And then week before that, Kerrick Moore gets banged up. And so it's kind of one of those battles of attrition, you know, if you will. And Will was the next best one, and we really don't care if they're freshmen or seniors. We're going to play the best guys that we can play, and Will's done a fantastic job really all year of just, you know, staying level-headed and just trying to soak up and learn as much as he can. And just he does a really good job of giving great effort every play. He doesn't really take any plays off, and when you find guys like that, especially young kids, you know, you want to reward them and give them an opportunity to play, because again, we want to play the best 11, and he's one of the best 11. And so Will's come a long way, but Will's, you know, the sky's the limit for him. He's got a lot of potential. Montarius Love is a senior. We started him off this year, believe it or not, on defense. We had him playing some linebacker for us. And because of our numbers at running back and linebacker, it really made sense to take a look at him on the offensive side of the ball. And so about 2 weeks ago, we moved him to running back just to see if he could give us some depth there. You know, with DJ Randall being a sophomore and being young and inexperienced, we knew we needed to, you know, kind of fortify that position, if you will. And Montarius is a tough kid, not afraid at all to run between the tackles. You know, he has good body, forward body lean. You know, when he runs with the ball, he's not upright, and he doesn't really take big shots. He does a good job of kind of avoiding those. And so we thought it might be a natural fit for him, and, you know, just to be able to use his athleticism there. And he's done a really, really nice job of kind of, you know, getting comfortable with it. And I thought last week he really started to flash a little bit, and we're looking forward to seeing what happens with him moving forward.
All right, let's move to defense. What a great defensive effort when you got people healthy or almost healthy, and you've got them back like Preston and Tyreek Houston and Jay Jones and Keith Steptoe, all those people stepping up for you. It was a great defensive effort. I don't think until that very end of the ball game that Fur got even into the red zone, and that's just got to really be pleasing for you.
Absolutely. You're always only going to be as good as your defense is, and defense wins championships, and I was very, very happy with what we saw this past Friday night. You know, just Tyreek, first of all, I'll start with him. He makes a tremendous difference inside. You know, when you play an even front, a four-man front, you have to have somebody that's dynamic at the defensive tackle position, because if they can't draw double teams, then you're going to have trouble, you know, against the good football teams. And Tyreek was getting double teams, sometimes triple teamed, and still making plays, or at least, you know, forcing the ball to go a different direction, you know, to where the help was. And I just thought he was phenomenal the other night. And his motors, it runs so hot, he plays so hard that it's contagious. And I think a lot of guys feed off him. He's kind of the engine, if you will, of our defense. Tyron Preston, another difference maker for us. You know, when he's healthy and when he's right, he's as good a defensive end as probably there is in this area. You put those two guys together on the defensive line alone, you know, and they've missed, I guess, the last two or three weeks, you know, and it's a noticeable difference. You know, when you play, again, when you're playing an even front, you have to have push and you have to have a solid D line, and those two guys make a tremendous difference. And they're great kids. Tyron is off the charts, you know, with the intangible stuff, and he's such a hard worker and tries to do the right thing all the time, and he's a pleasure to coach. I thought Cal Acosta and Jarek Beasley, I thought both those guys did some good things there, and I thought Noah Burkhalter did too. I really thought the defensive line controlled the game for us on defense, and when those guys are playing like they play, it makes everybody else's job so much easier. I thought Jay Jones played his best game at middle linebacker last week. I thought he was really, really good. I thought Keith Steptoe was really good, but that's kind of been a theme of ours all year. Really, Keith's been great all year. And so, you know, again, when the guys up front play well, the back guys tend to play well as well. And so if we can keep that kind of defensive effort up and that defensive consistency up, then we're going to be a tough out this year. And we really like what we see right now.
The Bulldogs of North Forest is the opponent tonight, a team that comes in, Coach, with a 1-4 record. This is Coach Casey Dacus, the pregame show brought to you by Gessner Heating and Air. Your comfort is our business. North Forest comes in with a 1-4 record, and it's really been crazy. If you look at their first five games, they lose by a point to Austin High, out of Houston. Then they get shut out 35-0. Then they score 50 on Washington High School. Then they lose. Giving up 54 to Brazosport, and then a wild game with Wheatley that they go behind, I think, 24-7, come back to lead that game, but then lose it in the end 33-28. So we're going to talk about a couple of their players that are D1 commits, but this is a good football team, and you got to erase from your team's mind that 1-4 record.
No, absolutely right. And one of the things we talked about all week, you know, is we were 0-4, you know, when we were getting ready to play Fur, and we beat Fur, who was 3-1. So you can throw records out the window at this point. This point of the year, you know, nobody really knows yet really what anybody really is. And so, you know, that's the way we're going to approach it. We were 0-4 last week and won. There's no reason why 1-4, you know, Navasota, which was what we are right now, and the same thing with North Forest, anybody can win. And when you got athletes like North Forest has, they're dangerous. You know, they have lots of ability at a lot of different places. And, you know, one of those, and I'm sure you're probably going to ask about him, is a receiver, Damon Demas. You know, he's phenomenal. You watch that guy, and you can see why he's, you know, one of the top five receivers in the country based on rankings and computer rankings. And you watch him, and he moves effortlessly, and he can do a lot of things that a lot of normal athletes can't do. And, you know, he's got tremendous speed. He's big. He's a, you know, a matchup nightmare, you know, if you will. So we're going to have our hands full with him. They have a, you know, a tremendous left tackle. going to, I think, the University of Texas is where he's committed, and he's got
Javon Shepherd is his name.
Yes, sir, Mr. Shepherd, and he's a good athlete, a good player, has great feet for a guy his size. So anybody that's at the game, they'll be able to see why he's a Division I commit. He's really, really good too. But the guy that really, in my opinion, makes him go as a quarterback is Demond Joseph, mm-hmm. Number three. He's really, for what they're doing offensively, he's really a dangerous guy because he's a dual threat quarterback. He can throw it and he can run it. And when you got a guy like, you know, Demas out wide, and you got to give special attention to him, sometimes that gives you a favorable box inside to run against, and he's dangerous with his feet. So we're going to do a really good job tonight of keeping him in the pocket, not letting him get outside and make plays with his feet, make him have to stay in the pocket and make plays with his arm. And again, offensively, they're really, really good. Defensively, they run the ball, they use their speed well. In my opinion, the linebacker, Deshaun Durrell, number 24, he's a guy that kind of flashes to me on tape. He seems to be around the ball an awful lot, so we're going to have to account for him. And then, you know, again, the back end, they can really run. So we're going to have to be assignment sound. We're going to have to execute really well, like we did this past week, because Fur is similar to them athletically, and we're going to have to do the same thing this week in order to have some success. So it'll be a big challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
Is Demas purely a receiver with the routes, or do they ever use him with an end-around jet sweep or anything like that?
They do. They use him a bunch of ways, and usually he plays what we would call the X position, out wide to defensive right, offensive left, the outside receiver. But if you see him, you know, moving around to the slot, or he plays some quarterback, they'll snap him the ball. They look for different ways to get in the ball. So, you know, he's a tough combination with the quarterback that they have, because the quarterback's very athletic as well. So, no, you're exactly right. They do a good job moving him around, and he causes problems. You have to always account for him. So that'll be an interesting to see how it goes tonight.
He is, according to Rivals, he is the number three receiver, not in the state, in the country, number three receiver in the country right now. And this guy is a junior. This is a class of 2020 we're talking about. So a couple of good players. So could one of the reasons that they're 1-4 and that they have given up points is defense something that maybe you can exploit? Is that their weak sign?
We certainly hope so. I don't know if it's necessarily their weak side, but I know they're a little less consistent on defense than they are on offense. And you know, the Demas kid also plays a little bit on defense. He plays safety sometimes. Sometimes he plays corner. So they try to use their best athletes all over the place. And I think that's one of our advantages tonight, is that we really don't play anybody two ways unless we just have to, you know. And I feel like North Forest plays two or three kids that are really key guys both ways, and we're hoping that the tempo of the game and the pace of the game will kind of wear them down a little bit. So, you know, hopefully when we get to the second half, you know, they've played quite a few more plays than the rest of our guys have, and we're hoping that's an advantage of ours. But, you know, they don't have a big roster. They're not deep per se, but they do have some high-end guys at the top, and you alluded to Demas, you know, being the number three guy in Rivals, and he's really, really good. And you know, those of the fans that are able to come to the game tonight, I think they're gonna be able to see why he's rated so high, because he's a tremendous athlete. So to answer your question, I don't know that the defensive side is weaker. I just think that it's a little more inconsistent for them right now.
Let's talk about their history. And my goodness, I just looked up, and if I'm right, this loss to Wheatley last week stopped a 21-game district winning streak. They had gone undefeated the last 3 years in district, and they won their last two district games of 2014. That was 21 games in a row. Second year under Coach Clifton Terrell. He was an assistant for Mike Farrell, who moved on to Brazosport too. So they've got a winning history there.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, in 21 games, in any district, that's a heck of an accomplishment. It's just hard, you know, with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids to stay consistent week to week, you know, just based on moods or what's going on at school, you know. So I have a lot of respect for North Forest. Our team has a lot of respect for them and for what they've accomplished. We knew, you know, coming into the year that they were going to be one of our toughest opponents. You know, I think Dave Campbell's Texas Football had it, us and them, is in the top two picks, I think. And I think several media outlets, media members did too. So we've known this for a long time, that this was going to be one of our tougher games. And we're looking forward to the challenge. It's not going to be easy, but we gained an extra day this past week, you know, to be able to work on them. And we really feel like that one extra day is a big difference maker too. So we're looking forward to it.
That's kind of a double-edged sword I was going to ask you about. You get an extra day to get ready for this good North Forest team, but then you get a day less to get ready for Wheatley, I believe, is the next game.
Yeah, that's right. It's Worthing. Yes, actually Worthing next week. And, yeah, you know, you're right. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword. The good thing is this week is the end of the 6 weeks. So it's also enabled us to have our athletes be able to go to tutorials and do the things they need to do to make sure their grades are up, you know, so they can be eligible after this week. But when you tie that in to a game of this magnitude, you're right, it makes for a tough week. So we are happy to have the extra day, but you're right, next week it'll speed up our preparation, especially from the coaching side of things. Usually, you know, you get Saturday afternoon and Sundays to put a game plan together, and this week we'll have to review the game on Sunday and put a game plan together on the same day. So it is what it is, but we'll make the most of it, and we'll have our guys ready to go.
And plus, the Worthing game is homecoming, so that brings its own little distractions, too. Christian Johnson is one of your senior players. He's a defensive back for you. Talk about what he brings to this team.
Christian's been a really nice surprise for us this year. You know, when I got here in March, he was one of our quarterbacks, and we had he and Zach Dyer, who had moved in from Iola, were really the two quarterback guys that we've been looking at. And we knew that if Christian was not the quarterback, that he was too good of an athlete to not have on the field. And so, to his credit, he knew that he was probably going to end up being a backup quarterback. And we asked him, we said, you know, is corner something that you'd be interested in playing? Because we think you're, you know, too good of an athlete to stand and not play. And to his credit, he said, yes, he'd do anything, whatever was going to help the team win, is what he told me. And when you got guys like that that are all about team first and want to do what's best for the team, then you pull for guys like that and you root for those kind of guys. And Christian's no exception. You know, he's done everything we've asked him to do. He's become a great leader as a senior this year. And he's doing a really, really nice job in the back end and the secondary for us and really turned into probably our best corner right now. So we've been really happy with Christian and what he brings to us both on and off the field.
It is Saturday Night Lights, folks, here at Coward Stadium as the Navasota Rattlers taking on the Bulldogs of North Forest tonight. And alongside with me tonight, very excited to have Matthew Yabar from the Navasota Examiner. He's filling in for Bryce tonight, and we'll be back, get you the starting lineups, and kick this one off on Saturday night. This is Navasota Football on Willie 98.7.